She knew she hit the jackpot when she found a woman who looked exactly like her. She was on the run in New York City for allegedly murdering and setting her neighbor on fire in her home country, and she was not about to go back. This is the story of Victoria Nasarova, the Russian dominatrix who thought she'd use a cheesecake to steal her doppelganger's identity. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I'm currently trying to learn Polish on Duolingo, and it's really, really hard. But with its foreign-to-me alphabet, I'm guessing that Russian is even harder. So please bear with me today as I slaughter every single name I try to pronounce, because we're going to the Russian neighborhood of Sheepshead Bay in my beloved Brooklyn, New York. Right next to the famous Roland Roaster, you'll find waterfront restaurants and nightclubs all owned by Russian people. And that's probably why Victoria Nasarova moved there from her home country in 2014. She was born on December 15, 1975, in the Krasnodar region of Russia. She found work in Brooklyn as a dominatrix, calling herself Rachel or Mara, making money humiliating men, she says. She obviously needed to look good if she was going to make the big S&M bucks, so she found a salon in Queens in early 2016. And that's where she met a 36-year-old Ukrainian woman named Olga Tsvik. Olga was an eyelash stylist at the salon, and the two happened to look so much alike that they could have been sisters, maybe even twins. They talked about their lives, as women do to pass the time in the salon, and eventually Olga revealed that she was going to receive her employment authorization card soon. Victoria had an idea. She called Olga up on August 28, 2016, and said she had an eyelash emergency. Yes, emergency. She said she didn't have time to meet at the salon, but asked if she could visit Olga at home in Forest Hills, Queens, for a quick touch-up. Olga didn't like allowing clients to come to her home, but Victoria was just so nice. She said she'd bring some cheesecake from a famous Brooklyn bakery in return. I'm wondering if it was Junior's, because that to me is the Brooklyn cheesecake, but sadly, no source ever named the cheesecake purveyor. Olga said there was no need for such a gesture, but Victoria insisted. But then Victoria apparently chowed down on two slices before offering Olga the third slice. Was she trying to subconsciously communicate that the cheesecake was safe to eat? I wonder. Because otherwise, who eats two whole slices of cheesecake in front of the person about to solve their eyelash emergency without sharing? Olga began feeling sick 20 minutes later, like vomitous sick, and as if she was losing consciousness. She fumbled for her bed and threw up on the floor right next to it. Victoria said not to worry, she would clean it up. What a pal. Olga was sick that whole night, so Victoria stopped by the following day with some hot chicken noodle soup. It was then that Olga went into a full-fledged coma. Her landlord found her days later, dressed in lingerie, pills scattered around her, the heat in the apartment cranked all of the way up. Doctors said she might have been dead in less than an hour if no one had discovered her. It was staged to look like a suicide, but Olga lived. She spent 3 days in the hospital, and during that time, she suddenly remembered Victoria rifling through her belongings as she slipped into her coma. Almost $4,000 in cash, a purse, and a beloved ring were all missing from Olga's apartment after that fateful visit from Victoria. But more importantly, so was Olga's Ukrainian passport and her authorization card to legally work in the U.S. Olga said that it tasted completely normal at the time, but now she knew something must have been amiss with that cheesecake. And when authorities tested the leftover pieces, they found them positive for the benzo called phenazepam, a powerful tranquilizer that came from the 70s-era Soviet Union. It's available in Russia still today because it can treat seizures, anxiety, and muscle spasms, but an overdose can knock you out or even kill you. The cheesecake box also had Victoria's DNA slathered all over it. Suddenly it made sense why Victoria would come all the way from Brooklyn to visit Olga specifically in the Queen's Salon. She had found her body double and wanted to become her. Olga said, "I never did anything to her. She was a sadist. She likes to see people suffer." But it turns out this wasn't the only reason the police would be looking for Victoria. In October 2014, back in Russia, traffic cams caught a wild sight. Victoria, driving a rental car, a limp, possibly dead, woman in her passenger seat. The New York Post called it ghoulish. This image of a middle-aged woman buckled up and slumped over. When the authorities found the woman's skeleton months later, It was charred, missing its legs and left hand, and buried just miles from Victoria's childhood home. The skeleton had to be identified by dental records. It turned out to be Victoria's 54-year-old neighbor, who sweetly made clothes for older people down on their luck. She had recently sold her mother's home for 3 million rubles, or about $53,000. Interpol thinks the unemployed Victoria probably spent months befriending the woman to eventually swindle her out of that money and steal another $17,000 from her apartment in cash and jewelry, after killing her, of course. One of the ways she was able to get close was by visiting the woman's daughter in New York City for a sightseeing trip the year before the murder. She made sure to send tons of selfies back to the mother in Russia to show how close she and the daughter were. You know, trustworthy. And just before the murder, Victoria allegedly even texted the woman from an unknown number about her boyfriend being a scam artist, setting him up to be framed once the woman was murdered. Victoria was the last person to call the woman before she died. She also texted the woman's son and daughter from unknown numbers, posing as their mother and telling them that she was happy and not to look for her. What eventually convinced the daughter that Victoria had something to do with the crime is that she visited Victoria's home and saw some of the Hennessy bottles her mother had collected. The cognac had been her favorite. Before the body was found, the woman's daughter remembers confronting Victoria back in Russia outside her mother's home, gripping her in a hug and asking where her mom was. Victoria supposedly tried to break free of the hug, screaming, "She is alive! Get away from me!" Victoria then failed a lie detector test and was, of course, caught on the traffic camera with the body beside her. Her rental car's GPS showed her driving to the area where the body was later found. And yet, Victoria somehow managed to never be arrested. It came out later that she had used her wily lady charms to get the chief homicide detective in the case on her side. When he slowed down the inquiry, she escaped to Brooklyn with one of her many passports. The amazing thing is that she chose to live in the exact same neighborhood as the daughter of the woman she'd allegedly killed back in Russia, the one who knew she was guilty. And that's not all. Apparently, there are several recorded instances of Victoria scamming others with not quite so violent ends, like the time she faked degrees and diplomas and used her boyfriend's death certificate back in Moscow to try to get access to his inheritance. Or the time she was arrested in May 2016 when she stole a couple of furs from a discount luxury store in New York. Unfortunately, the police didn't connect the dots back to the Interpol notice of her escape from Russia. But in March of 2017, Victoria's brazenness finally caught up with her. A family friend of the murdered woman back in Russia hired a former NYPD detective to track Victoria down. He found that she'd been posting photos of herself on Facebook under a fake name, In Furs, the Manhattan skyline behind her. He ultimately helped the local cops nab her when he noticed that one of her Facebook photos showed her sitting in a leather car seat that had the stitching of a luxury Chrysler. The reflection in her sunglasses showed the Chrysler's dashboard. His team checked out every high-end Chrysler in Lower Brooklyn until they found her.
This particular picture was the most beneficial. She's wearing the Ray-Ban sunglasses again that are mirrored, and she took a great picture for us to see the dashboard of the car. You could see that unique configuration, but more importantly, the stitching on that back headrest.
Right,
yeah, that's just black leather with a white or light gray stitching on it. It made the car that much more unique to me.
So you have this image of the back seat with this unique stitching. What do you do?
Go walk around the parking lot until I found the same type of car.
I would do one row, and then I'll say, I'll do one more row. You take your cell phone out, zoom in on that stitching, and then walk behind every car you can and look into the windows and try to find that stitching. It's a needle in a haystack.
She was brought in on a litany of charges, like attempted murder and burglary related to drugging and robbing men she'd found online. One of these men said that they'd met on a Russian dating app and exchanged a few texts. He went to see her in her home in the hope of hooking up. She had fried some fish for them and was insistent that they eat immediately. The 48-year-old victim was much more interested in other activities, but she was adamant that the fish would get cold. He remembers nothing after the first few bites, but his credit card knows what happened. When he woke up in the hospital 3 days later, close to $3,000 was charged to it, and he was missing $500 cash and an $800 watch. His symptoms mimicked the same ones Olga would later experience after the cheesecake. Victoria was offered a plea deal of 3 to 9 years if she admitted to third-degree larceny, but she refused. She later pleaded guilty to one misdemeanor charge of petty larceny and was sentenced to 90 days in jail, but was released on time served. The murder of her neighbor occurred outside of U.S. jurisdiction, and Russia doesn't have an extradition agreement with the U.S., so the Russian murder charge just hangs in the ether. But just last month, the 47-year-old Victoria went on trial for second-degree murder and 9 other counts for the cheesecake poisoning. Things didn't look great for her right from the start, because when she was interviewed about Olga's death, she would smile and say things like, "I did not force her to eat the cheesecake." She brushed off the accusations that she had anything to do with Olga's hospital stay and claimed, "The last time I saw Olga, she was already not feeling good. She said she either ate something or got food poisoning." The problem is that Victoria also, you know, had Olga's passport on her when she was arrested. In his opening statements at the end of January 2023, the assistant Queens DA said that Victoria was bent on stealing Olga's identity because she was desperate to never return to Russia. Olga was such a good mark for multiple reasons. She and Victoria look alike, she had the U.S. employment papers Victoria so desperately needed, and she didn't have any family in the U.S. to help her out of a bind. It was just the perfect storm of convenience, and poor Olga was just unlucky enough to have walked right into it.
"And I can tell you, she wasn't laughing when paramedics had to pull her from her bed and load her onto a stretcher because she was too weak to take her own feet. And when she was rushed to the emergency room of New York Presbyterian here in Queens County with her friend Marina by her side, she wasn't cracking jokes in the emergency room. She was hallucinating. She thought that the people around her in those white coats, she thought they were angels. She actually said she thought that she was in heaven. Thankfully, this woman did not die as was intended. She lived. It took her several days to start getting better. And you'll learn that she's relatively healthy now, but she's not without permanent damage or permanent effects. That's when she knew that someone had targeted her. Someone had done something to harm her, to kill her, and to take her things. So if I haven't been clear, let me be clear now. This is not a joke. And there's nothing funny about this. The person who targeted Olga's family, the person who intended on killing her, the person who took everything that meant a value to her, is in this room. She's seated right here. It's the defendant, Victoria Nasarova. In 2016, you'll learn that this woman concocted a cold and calculated plan to isolate Olga's victim, to get her alone in a room, to poison her, to try to kill her, and to take her identity, along with other valuables as well."
Fortunately for Victoria, experts said before the trial that it's sometimes very hard to prove who drugged someone, and that this case might not be a slam dunk because most of the evidence was circumstantial. Just because her DNA was on the cheesecake box doesn't mean she was the one who drugged it. Olga's sister testified that she flew over from Ukraine as soon as Olga told her she was feeling sick. When she arrived to take Olga to the hospital, Olga looked like a vegetable and needed to be held up. And speaking of needing to be held up, Victoria was showing up to court with a walker to help her along, and she was caught smiling and talking to someone sitting behind her in the courtroom. Now, you can't blame a person for smiling when she sees a friendly face, imprisoned or not, but it just adds to this villain persona she has. The kind of woman who smiles when she stands accused of murder is the kind of woman who blatantly goes out shopping and posts photos of herself in furs when people feel she should be hiding out on the lam. And just to add a little more fuel to the fire, there's one more poisoning plot we haven't talked about, and this one involves a beloved pet. Allegedly, Victoria poisoned her boyfriend's beagle a few years back, 2 days before the boyfriend's birthday. Victoria says the dog was just sick and died after an epileptic episode. One source says that it was actually the beagle's birthday, and Victoria was annoyed that it was getting too much attention. Either way, who could hurt a beagle?
"You had a boyfriend here in New York who had a dog named Joey."
"Oh, yes."
"And your boyfriend says you poisoned his dog. You killed his dog on the dog's birthday."
"My ex-boyfriend. He's lying the same way he lied all the time and all his life.
Your ex-boyfriend also says that you offered him a drink and that he then passed out for 2 days. And when he woke up, you'd stolen some of his items. You didn't drug your boyfriend?
Никогда. Never.
And in another little bit of juicy gossip, the daughter of the woman killed back in Russia says that Victoria has a son who lives with his grandparents, and she never visits him. The daughter says, I don't know what kind of mother can kill a mother. Absolute psychopath. It feels like Victoria has been crying for the past 5 years, judging by every interview I've seen with her, but her latest complaint is that some of the other inmates in her jail have harassed and beaten her to the point that she almost went blind. She said another inmate cornered her and forced her to talk, and the corrections officer nearby didn't step in when the talk turned into punching and slamming Victoria's head against a wall. She says she got a broken nose in the ordeal and doesn't see colors nor shapes anymore, just white. On February 9th, 2023, Victoria was found guilty by a New York jury. At the time of this recording, she'll be sentenced on March 21st and faces as many as 25 years in prison. So happy Olga is still with us and was able to stand up in court to the woman who tried to murder her. I'd love to know what you think about this case. Will Victoria ever face the music back in Russia? And is 25 years enough for everything she's supposedly done? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.